This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A record number of inmates killed themselves in North Carolina last year. 12 inmates committed suicide in 2018. That is double the number from the year before. State prison officials are now forming a suicide prevention task force to address the issue. And that's on top of a suicide prevention plan that they released in 2016. Gavin Off and Ames Alexander have been reporting on state prisons and inmate suicides. Gavin is a data reporter. Ames is an investigative reporter, and they're both with the Charlotte Observer. Gavin and Ames, welcome back.
Hey, Frank. How are you?
Thanks for having us.
It's good to have you. I'm fine. Gavin, this is a big increase. Has anybody ventured a guess on what's happening?
I think there are several guesses on why more inmates are killing themselves. When you talk to the inmate advocacy groups, they would tell you that the prisons are failing to detect inmates who are entering the facilities with mental health problems. In other words, they do not have their eyes on these people who are most at risk right away. And they would also tell you that the prisons are struggling to staff themselves. They don't have enough correctional officers to watch these inmates, and they also don't have enough behavioral health specialists to treat the inmates for their problems. So when you add both those two together, you have a lot of inmates who are flying under the radar with really, really terrible mental health issues.
And so that's what the inmates are coming in with, and understaffing. And of course, it's a prison system, not a mental health system. But more and more, we're finding that our prison and our penal system is having to deal with people with mental illness. That's on top of the problems that the penal system has already, contributing factors including general illness, medical illness, time and segregation. Talk about some of the factors that are already sort of built into the institution that may be contributing to this, Gavin.
Yeah, exactly. The advocacy groups tell you to watch out for a number of things if you want to prevent suicides among inmates. Inmates who enter with mental health issues should get flagged and watched. Inmates who are serving really long or life sentences should get flagged. Inmates who are being abused either by other inmates or occasionally by the officers themselves or are more at risk for committing suicides, as well as what you said, inmates who are physically sick and inmates who are spending a lot of time in solitary confinement, 23 hours a day by themselves. All of these factors can increase the risk of suicide.
Ames, you have reported on a suicide prevention plan that state officials rolled out in 2016. Tell us about that plan and what's happening with it.
Sure. So back in spring of 2016, there were four inmates who killed themselves in a 17-day stretch. And so we reported on that. It was an unusual spike in suicides. And about 2 weeks later, the state rolled out a plan for preventing suicides. And so part of that plan was that all prison staff should be trained to recognize whether an inmate's at risk of committing suicide. Every prison was supposed to conduct 3 mock drills each year to prepare staff how to handle an attempted suicide in progress. And prison mental health professionals were supposed to do more frequent monitoring of inmates after they come off suicide watch to ensure they're out of danger. And it was also designed to discourage prisons from placing mentally ill inmates in solitary confinement, because a lot of research has shown that solitary can make mental health problems worse. But even back at that time, a lot of the experts I talked to were skeptical about the plan because they said it looked great on paper, but you really needed a lot more staff to carry it out effectively.
And what do we know? And Gavin, I think you've heard from a former correctional officer as part of your latest reporting. Did they give you any sense of how that was implemented and whether or not it was even carried off?
Yeah, I talked to a former correctional officer. His name is Aaron Parson, and we've actually been talking to him for quite a while now, but now that he's a former officer, he's on the record. And when I asked him about the policy, in particular, I asked him, how many mock suicide drills have you participated in? And that's what you're supposed to do under the policy. He said he's never participated in a mock drill, and he was never asked to participate, excuse me, in a mock drill, which isn't that surprising when you think about it. Some of these prisons are running at 20% vacancy rates or 25% vacancy rates for among officers. So when you have that few officers, I wouldn't doubt that they find it difficult to cut some time out to do these mock drills.
And that's just a mock drill. What would you do if there's an attempted suicide or a suicide, which is a kind of a behavioral thing? But also some of this training involves really in-depth or at least, in-depth kind of training for mental illness, which is not what a prison guard is necessarily trained for when they take the job, right?
Exactly. And after our story this past weekend, I got a letter from a behavior health specialist at one of the prisons. And what the letter writer said is that it's not unusual for one behavior health specialist to oversee 800 to 900 inmates. And to quote this writer, it said, "It's been my experience that prisoners get tired of waiting. They just give up."
And also waiting for general medical attention. Ames, what's the connection between general illness and suicide risk?
Well, we've had anecdotal cases where relatives believe that a lack of medical attention may have contributed to the decision by their loved ones to commit suicide. I'll give you one example. Back in July of 2016, this was soon after that suicide prevention plan went into effect, there was an inmate named Robert Dadone who was bitten by a spider in Maury Correctional Institution. And apparently it was extremely painful. We don't know what kind of spider it was, but his hand swelled up considerably. He asked to see a doctor. A nurse saw him, but no doctor saw him. He never got antibiotics. And after 3 days, Robert Dadone's mother got a call, and it was from the superintendent at the prison who said, "Hey, are you sitting down? Your son's killed himself." He'd apparently hung himself with a bedsheet. And his mom now wonders, did he kill himself because he was in such pain and wasn't getting treatment? We don't know. But we hear those kinds of stories from time to time.
And Gavin, this really is part of a much larger picture. We understand, you know, our law enforcement officers are finding themselves in the same bind where they're really needing to be mental health experts dealing with criminal behavior and sometimes dangerous behavior that that a clinician or a counselor might have handled differently. But law enforcement is forced to deal with these things. And I guess that's really being felt in a very big way in our prisons in terms of their preparedness and, as you say, even staffing. I mean, give us a broader picture of what we're asking our prison guards and staff to do and the change in the kind of folks that we're seeing coming to them, I think owing to the fact that we're not properly caring for mentally ill people in our healthcare system.
Well, you're right. And when Ames and I first began reporting on the prisons going back maybe 2 years ago, one of their opening arguments for DPS was prisons now are the de facto mental health hospitals. And they're seeing more and more inmates with depression and anxiety and bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. So it's a large task not only just to ask the regular correctional officer to identify these symptoms, but when you're short-staffed for your psychologist and your psychiatrist, you're putting more weight on those correctional officers. And then when you add on that they're spending time in solitary and they're being abused by other inmates and they're, as Ames said, they're ill sometimes, I think it's the overall weight that some of these inmates are feeling that it drives themselves to kill themselves.
All right. Your state prison leaders have formed a suicide prevention task force. This in addition to the plan that was implemented in 2016, Gavin. They're meeting next week. What do we know about the task force so far?
I don't know too much about it. I know their first meeting is January 29th, and it's made up of behavior health professionals. They're going to review the state's current policy and procedures as far as preventing suicides. But they have also asked that the Federal Bureau of Prisons come in and help them out. Unfortunately, that can't happen, I'm told, until the federal government shutdown ends.
All right. And do we know, Gavin or Ames, how North Carolina compares nationally? I mean, obviously, 12, a doubling of the suicide rate, which has gone up quite a bit over just the past 10 years. I mean, the increase has been pretty steady over the past 10 years. And now we're seeing 12, which is double last year's new record. How do we compare nationally?
A good question, and that was one of the arguments that DPS, the Department of Public Safety, told me. They said nationally, our suicide rate in North Carolina prisons is lower than prisons nationwide, which I believe it is by just a small margin. But it's also lower compared to the suicide rate among men in free society. Mm.
They are working to deal with it. It's been a huge spike, and we thank you for your reporting. Gavin Off and Ames Alexander, reporters with the Charlotte Observer. Gavin, a data reporter. Ames, an investigative reporter. Thank you both so much for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
You can find links to their reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, a new Playmakers production is a family drama with a dash of whimsy on a very difficult topic. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.